and romantic. Let me pronounce H.
Hade.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay. Okay. No, thank you, honorable members. I'm told the chair said we must start with the meeting. She will join us late. Buyogazi, can you flag the agenda? Buyogazi, do we have all members are here? Can we start with the meeting? Is the quorum there?
Yes, Chair, we do have the quorum. We can start.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, honorable members. This is a joint meeting of Human Settlement, Water and Sanitation, and COXTA. I want to take this opportunity to welcome all of you in this meeting. Before we start, I'll request everyone present in the meeting to bow our heads as we take a moment of silence for prayer as we put our country that we should reconstruct our own economy. There should be peace and stability in our country, and the pandemic that befell our country, we should conquer it. Let's bow our heads for meditation or prayer. Thank you very much. Can we confirm apologies? We have one for the chair of COXTA. Can we confirm other apology for Buyogazi and the secretary of COXTA?
Good evening, members. I've got two apologies. One from Ms. Powell, she won't be able to attend the meeting, and also the Minister of COCTA, she won't be able to attend due to network problems where she is right now. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Good evening, Member Shireen Kasim, the Secretary for the PC on COCTA. An apology from our DG. She also won't be able to attend the meeting because something came up at the last minute. And then there is also some of the members that are struggling to connect, like Mr. Mpum.
Oh, okay. There are the apologies, honorable members.
Sorry, Chair.
Yes.
Sorry, Chair. I'd just like to take note. I sent earlier an apology for Deputy Minister Owetopela, the Parliamentary Liaison Officer Brian Adams.
Okay. All right, thank you very much. Thank you very much for the apology of the Deputy Minister. Let's go into our agenda. This is a follow-up meeting, as put on the agenda. It's a follow-up joint meeting for us to look at the implications of the 2021 zero-based water tariff, and looking again at the the coming raw water tariffs. The consultation has to start. So we'll now invite the department. It's supposed to be a joint interministerial team. I'm not sure they're here. Who's here, Vuyagazu? Vuyagazu.
Chairperson, COCTA is here and the department is here.
Okay. Can we be led? Is it DM Masobo and DM Parkstow?
Good evening, Honourable Chair. I'll be doing the presentation when you're ready. It's Trevor Bolton.
Okay. Is DM Masobo, who's here with us, one minister?
DM Masobo is here, Chairperson.
Okay.
I've yes. also seen DM Tau in terms of the attendance. He's also here, Honorable Chair.
Chair, I'm here. And okay. on our side, we have the acting DG and the senior management, including our entities, the water boards. They've also joined the meeting from our side, Chair.
Okay. DM Tau? He seems not responding. Can we hand it over to you, DM Masobo, and then we'll hand it over to your team.
But, I thought you want to also know whether Salga is here.
Okay. Tatem Guvan. Salga, are you here?
Yes, Chair. It's Kumoto, the Chief of Municipal Finance at Salga. We hear colleagues from Salga.
Okay. The political head, who's here? You are alone.
Yes, I see for now. I'm with my other colleagues from Salga, but I don't see our political head, Councillor Ngubane.
Okay. Is Treasury here with us? Do you have anybody from Treasury? No response. Let me hand it over to DM Masobo, and after the Department of Water and Sanitation presentation, will give Salga to present. Honorable members, the presentation have been circulated. I'm now going to allow them to lead us in the presentation. Can we allow DM Masobo to introduce your team and hand it over to them?
Well, thank you very much, Your Excellency, Chairperson, and to the Acting Chair for the COCTA Portfolio Committee, Upungane, on behalf of Comrade Tambi. Well, Chair, it's unfortunate that the other colleagues are not here because this is a matter arising, and we appeared in front of you on a number of issues, and you appeared jointly, and we undertook to work as a collective. but we have prepared this presentation, Chair, which is a deviation from what you told us in the past, that you want one presentation that must be presented, that's supported by us at a political level. But because of the decisions that you made about certain important issues of the events, the presentation has been circulated by the department that speaks to issues of the outstanding issues that you raised, including the issues of the tariffs for the oncoming financial year. We'll hand over to the acting DG Chairperson to take us through the presentations with your permission. And is supported by the DDGs. But as also I was saying, Chairperson, we're also having the leadership of the various water boards that are affected by the discussion today, whether it is the question of the tariffs, whether it is the question of the debts that are being owed to them. We'll then request then Trevor to take you through, Chair. Yeah, well.
Thanks, Honourable Chair, and also yeah, the
just a point of before. A point of before, Chair.
Yes, point of before. Yeah, point of before.
Yeah. Okay. I thought that Deputy Minister Mashaba would want to substantiate on. Therefore, the process forward having the deviated approach, because we if we are going to engage as if this is a joint report and behave jointly when the report is a one department report, it means we still are going to say to yourself, Mashaba and the others, go back and look into the process whether. Is SALGA agreeing? Is Treasury agreeing? But if it's a presentation of the department with the hope that you are still going to engage SALGA and the other department, then that's fine. But I thought you want to clear that point before we listen to Trevor, because we might be listening to Trevor with the mind that we think it is the proposal you are making for us to consider. Whilst you still want to engage SALGA and Treasury as per our earlier decisions. I want that clarity from Deputy Minister Mashaba. What is the intended intention of this presentation?
Chair, do you want us to respond?
Yes, dear.
Well, Chairperson, our view is that the presentation should proceed. We had a joint meeting with of MINMEC, of COCTA, with Water and Sanitation last week, where some of these issues we discussed as a collective, and SALGA was there. And there are certain decisions that we also took. But it will be important that we allow Comrade Trevor to do the presentation. There are certain issues that we still have to tie up at a political level, but certain issues have been discussed at an administrative level. Therefore, at that particular point, Honorable Mashifa, you will see, because this is a matter arising, we should be able to brief you how far have we gone, which are the issues we agree, and which are the issues that we still don't agree that are outstanding. But you'll also, in the same presentation, get the feedback of the meeting that was a joint MINMEC that was chaired by Minister Cocta and Minister of Human Settlement, Water and Sanitation, where the president of SALGA, including my brother, Comrade Ngubane, they were there in that particular meeting. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Let's allow Acting DG to proceed.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. Good evening. It's Trevor Balser, Acting DG for Department of Water and Sanitation. If I could just ask the Secretariat to flight the presentation for me, please. the first presentation.
You have to do your presentation within 30 minutes. The first one and the second one, the other 30 minutes we'll give it to Salga, and then so that we have enough time for members to interact with your presentation.
While they're putting the presentation, we greet the chair for the portfolio committee on culture, Comrade Desisweet.
Mr. Trevor, can you flag it in your side? I've got a problem with my system now. It's
frozen. Chair, I won't be able to flag it from my side. There's a storm overhead and I lose connection. It's very unstable at this stage.
Matlo.
Yes, sis.
So you are greeting me?
Yeah, my sister.
Chairperson, I'm back next.
Okay, you're welcome. And I was saying, Marshall is out of order because we have acting chair, who's Honorable Becky Hadebe.
I was about to say.
My apology, chair, profusely apologize.
UDM
indirect.
He is sowing division on COP.
Can we order, please? Can we help the dear Makavo? Don't you have
any? I'm trying to get the presentation up, Honorable Chair.
Okay.
Can you see it?
Here we are.
Okay, yes.
I've got it up. Thanks, Chair.
We can see it now. You can proceed.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I'll try and speed through it. There's only 17 slides.
Chair, my apology. Can we, in the meantime, request the official from SALGA to find out if the political head will be joining us or not while we listen to the presentation?
Okay.
I think it's important that the SALGA political leadership is also part of this meeting.
Okay. No, you are right. Can we ask the Homuso to do that as we proceed with the presentation? Homuso?
Yes, Chair. I'm doing that. Thank you.
Okay. Acting DG, proceed.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not going to read the contents.
Mind the time.
Chair, I will do so. If you can just bail me out if I run over time while I'm speaking. The content I'm not going to go through, but the purpose is to provide feedback on the impact of the implementation of the increase in the bulk water tariffs for water boards for the current year. Just by way of introduction, in terms of Section 27.1b of the Constitution, everyone has a right of access to sufficient water. 27.2 gives a responsibility to the state to take reasonable measures to ensure the right is realizable.
My apology, Chair. Trevor, use a slideshow that looks so small. That's good. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Further, no one's liable to pay for water in South Africa, but the services thereof to ensure the sustainable supply of the service of a sufficient good quality water. The pricing of water per volume is just a token through which value add from the natural source. Public water entities across the value chain have been established to serve the state in its endeavor to ensure the constitutional right to water. And I'm talking with regard to the water boards in particular. Just looking and understanding the value chain, it's a seven-step value chain. So from the water resources management side, and we will cover the raw water charges from the resource in the second presentation. And in each step, there's a value add going from the raw water from the rivers, the dams, boils, and springs, through to the bulk water treatment, bulk water distribution, the reticulation to water, water to consumers, which is the value add by local government or the municipalities in particular, through to the consumers who use that water, and then the waste is then collected and returned to the stream, and there's also a cost associated to the collection of that waste and return to the resource once again. The value chain is one coherent system whose levels need to need care when affecting shocks. So if you have any shock on one level of the system, that reverberates right through the system. Inadequate water resource availability will have significant impact on the revival of the economy. And the economic development sectors are more likely to commit large capital investment to areas where water and energy are secure. So it's quite important that we make sure that within the municipal space we have a secure water supply. And just to remind you that municipalities use in the order of 24% of the water that's available in South Africa. Funding constraints are becoming a serious problem, and at least 126 billion is required over the next 10 years to finance key water resources developments. Post 28 July 2020, water boards were informed by the minister to apply no increase in terms of tariffs for the 2021 financial year. And that advice by the minister was as a consequence of the decision taken by this by the portfolio committee not apply tariff increases for the 2020-2021 year for water boards. The budgets at that stage were already approved at originally tabled tariff levels. Corporate business plans had already been approved. The raw water tariff already approved and applied with no COVID-19 prospects, and all other costs exogenously determined having increased independently by the water sector dynamics. So we had to carry on, or the water boards had to assimilate or accommodate all of the costs such as energy, rising energy costs, increase of cost of chemicals and increased labor costs as well. So effectively the zero tariff assumed that all factors prices remained unchanged, which is a distorted perception, which is far from the actual real situation. Budgets had to be revised down and reprioritized to defer or postpone and default on some commitments in place for financial period. The guarantee of supply is to be assured in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, and then a state of very low cash flow due to sector position to relax debt collection and credit control policy. So you'll recall also that there was a call on the water boards to relax their debt control policies during the height of the COVID pandemic. The deferment of the, I wonder if the secretary could just remove that bar which two people waiting in the waiting room, it's covering the slide. Thanks, Chair. So the deferment of capital projects will attract higher future costs and culminate in higher future tariffs beyond 2020 and 21. Defaults in covenants and obligations cause a breach or expose the water boards to higher risks and compel for immediate settlements of borrowing. So there is a negative impact on the loan covenants, which those water boards who have money secured from the in terms of loans because of the no increase in the tariffs. Due to huge outstanding debts, the liquidity of the water boards is at risk and has an upward effect on the creditors' book, which is not favorable condition for the sustainability of the water boards. Currently, we've got four water boards, Lapele Northern, Bloom Water, Seribeng Water, and Amatola, who already need rescue prior to the 2021 decision and are now worse off with the zero increase. The capex of water boards is more heavier when directly funded from tariffs. If water boards, due to the financial status, fail to demonstrate the ability to pay debts, it's very difficult to secure loans. Maintenance costs is still highly compromised in an attempt to maintain a lower tariff at all times. So just with regard to the four water boards which I've mentioned, which are under distress at the moment, those water boards, Amatola, Bloom, Lapele, Seribeng, and Amatola, Bloom, Lapele, and Seribeng, you'll see in terms of our cash flow projections that in total, due to December, we are projecting a negative cash flow of 190 million rand, with Seribeng already in a severe cash flow crisis. I can't see, there we are. So post 20 July interdepartmental engagements we held with National Treasury, the Department of Corporate Governance and Traditional Affairs and SALGA, particularly reflecting initially on the four water boards which were under distress.
Sure. Chair. I'm sorry, Chair, we had to hear Acting DG Trevor. Can you come closer to the mic?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mbumza. Acting DG, can you talk to the mic?
Chair, is that better? I'm wearing a headphone with the mic at the mouth. Is that better?
Yes, it is. It is. Proceed,
thanks, DG. Thanks, Chair. My apology for that. So the financial state of those four water boards that I've referred to was discussed to determine a rescue plan. And at that stage, we had approached National Treasury to see if they could assist us with providing some sort of funding to those water boards in their cash flow crisis. National Treasury referred the matter back to the department to reallocate the budget within our own budget or to reprioritize our budget to provide for the 600 million that we had projected was required to the end of the financial year. So we then also made a request to National Treasury to allocate a portion of the 20 billion that was availed to local government for COVID-19 to subsidize the water boards and enable the implementation of a zero tariff increase. National Treasury's position in response to us is that those funds were not available for the requested use, as we had requested them to be used. So there's been no funding injected to assist the water boards to cope with the stress of no tariff increases, except the four who are already in deficit, and that's where the department has had to reprioritize within its own budget just to make sure that those four water boards stay liquid at this point in time. I've mentioned the figure of 600 million. I just rounded that up, it's 584 million if you look at the figure, and Amatola Water requiring 61 million. Bloom Water, 162 million, Lapele Northern, 94 million, and Seribeng Water, 267 million. That financial support, which they need to keep them afloat in the operation and maintenance and the payment of salaries, will take them through to the end of June, which water boards, you'll recall, and the financial year coincides with that of local government. So that's the type of package which we're having to put together to support those water boards. So the decision to freeze the water board's tariffs will retain its negative impact over the water board sector, whether municipalities have increased their tariffs or not. The benefits of a lower water tariff due to COVID-19 intended to accrue to residents is a positive action, and we do see that is a positive action, but it does not rescue the water boards from drowning in their cash balances, as they remain responsible for funding the services with no assistance. A random survey over all the water boards made reflected that municipalities served by water boards have approved tariffs at higher rates than what the water boards originally proposed. And the debtor's age analysis, the water boards demonstrates that no increase in the bulk water tariffs had no insignificant impact on the settlement of at least the current accounts. So there's been no closure of that gap between with the debt owed to water boards. We still see an increasing debt from those water boards. Just looking at the tariff structures, this is just a couple municipalities that we have pulled up, and we've just shown the increases in the municipal tariffs in the supply area of those water boards. So with Rand Water as an example, Rand Water came in with a zero tariff increase, but Ekurhuleni, a metro municipality, had a 13% increase in their tariffs. And so it's reflected in that page. In Polokwane, Lapel Northern Supply Area, Polokwane Local Municipality increased their tariffs by 7.5%, despite the fact that the water boards were not applying any increases. Chair, Honourable Chair, I'm also just reflecting on the screen the current debt levels, the outstanding debt our water boards at the moment is sitting at 12 billion rand. 8.3 billion of that is over 120 days. And you'll see that even Rand Water, which is one of our strongest water boards, is now sitting with a 120-day plus debtors book of in excess of 1.2 billion. If you take on also their current debt, you're looking at 3.9 billion. So quite significant that one of the biggest water boards also showing the impact of the current non-payment by municipalities. If you just pull out one example for Sedibeng, the Mochabeng local municipality owes Sedibeng nearly 3.8 billion. Mongahung Metro owes Primwater 1 billion. So the problem persists and is quite serious for those four water boards which I mentioned earlier on. So the conclusion there, Chair, is that COVID-19 is still rife and the negative impact is continuing to be felt in the economic sector. With the economic sector struggling and people losing jobs, the lags and the impact of the pandemic will remain for some time. Residents still require relief and enhanced access to basic services for a duration of the pandemic. However, due care needs to be taken when such decisions are taken, particularly when they impact on those institutions which are responsible, directly responsible for the provision of water. Relief efforts will need to be sound and based on quantitative facts. The department continues with a temporary relief for the selected water boards. In that regard, Honourable Chair, we are making a facility available for the four water boards in question, where we will make funding available to them on a payback basis. So we'll advance them certain funds based on their cash flow, be they on their negative cash flow. And once the municipalities start paying and carrying their current debt, the water boards will be expected to refund the department. So while local government receives assistance to sustain through the pandemic, the water boards should apply credit control policies without hindrance. And you'll recall that there was that decision to hold back on the application of the credit control policies. But with the recent correspondence we've had from National Treasury are indicating, when we raised the issues with them around the stress that the water boards are in, are indicating to us that we need to actually follow the credit control policies. Raw water is among the big three cost factors for water boards, and those raw water tariffs were carried through, and they filtered down to the end users with less adverse impact on the intermediate levels of the value chain. But the water boards have to carry that full cost for next. And that's it. Thanks, Chair. So we have currently four water boards which are in distress, and as I've shown you in the debt analysis, that the other water boards have also got increasing debt levels as well. Thank you, Honourable Chair. Thanks, Honourable Members.
Thank you. Thank you. Did you go into the second presentation before Salga comes in?
Okay, I'll hold back until... You want me to hold back on the second one? Yes, okay.
You do the last one, Seven.
Honorable Mashiro,
I'm disagreeing with that view. I mean, these tools, which we need to get the thinking behind this one, whether it is a collective view first, because if you jump to the raw water tariffs, which is not necessarily the same as this one, it might be a problem.
Okay. So you want us, I thought we take all the presentation and then we can then discuss them, because we might discuss one presentation end up not having time for others. So it's fine, we can agree then how do we want to deal with this? Let's get Salga again before we go to the 2021 raw tariffs. Salga.
Okay. Should we? Yes, Chair. It's Komoto. Should we slide our presentation now?
Yes.
I think the 18 DG's presentation is still on.
I'm going to turn it off now. Just excuse me. I think it's gone now. Is it gone now, Chair?
Yes.
There we go.
Yeah.
Thanks for that, Chair. Thanks, Komoto.
Okay. Oh, okay. So, Chair, can I ask the Secretariat to share the presentation, because I'm not able to share?
Well, guys, you can give them the share status. You guys?
You can flag a presentation, Chairperson.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Chair. Maybe just to report back, we're struggling to get hold of Councillor Ngubane, but the CEO's office is trying to see if they can get hold of him while the discussions are happening. So in terms of just our presentation, the first bit basically deals with the issue around the municipal debt. And of course, the information that was shared in terms of the numbers, we basically very much aligned with what the acting DG has basically presented. So in terms of just the municipal, the debt that's basically owed to water boards, there's a structure that has been put in place, and initially it was to basically focus on Eskom debt. And of late, the political task team then approved the recommendation that we need to basically include the issues around debt that's basically owed to water boards. And I think that just the appreciation in that particular respect is that with the debt that's basically owed to Eskom, there's a lot of work that was done under the then established IMTT in terms of looking at the structural issues as well, and how the debt basically eliminated, and also coming up with recommendations in terms of dealing with that particular debt. And there's an appreciation that there's still a lot of work that needs to happen in terms of the debt that's basically owed to be to water boards. But nevertheless, we're using those structures that are basically already in place, which is basically a multidisciplinary team around dealing with the debt as a whole for municipal creditors. And there are recommendations that are currently being considered, and that would include water boards. And basically, this will basically be covered under what we call the multidisciplinary team, the multidisciplinary revenue committee. That includes of multiple departments, like National Treasury, COGTA, SALGA, GPE, Department of Water Affairs, Department of Minerals and Energy. And the meetings have basically already started. However, the terms of reference for the committee would be extended as well to deal with that. So in terms of that, Chair, what I'm submitting is that there's definitely a specific focus in terms of addressing the issues around municipal debt. There's also a document that was also produced by the multidisciplinary committee, and it's basically called the Single Integrated Revenue Management Framework, that would basically deal with all the trading services and the debt that basically came out from there, which will probably be shared at a later stage as it's currently being processed. So I will not touch on this. In terms of the debt that's owed, that is over 12 billion, and basically now the strategies that we're basically looking at is to basically categorize the debt across the debt owed to municipalities that obviously causes some of the challenges in terms of paying creditors on time, in terms of debt owed by government departments, debt owed by commercial entities to municipalities, and basically debt owed by a household, and the strategies will basically be different in terms of how we deal with all those different categories as we look at the debt that's basically owed to water boards. And basically this slide is to show that the debt owed by the top 20 municipalities is just over the 9 billion, basically of the 12 billion. And basically it also reflects the debt that's basically owed by the departments, the state departments, which is currently basically being pursued, including also on the ESCOM debt as well. And then I also not touch on this slide in terms of the acknowledgement of debt and payment agreements that municipalities have actually entered into with the water board. And definitely this will be monitored through the multidisciplinary team on revenue committee. In terms of the bulk water tariffs, as SALGA, we do take into consideration the increases and how that will probably impact on the financial sustainability, basically, of water boards. But I think previously, as it was discussed in this committee, that there's definitely merit in terms of assessing the entire value chain of basically setting tariffs and also identifying the possibility of cost containment in that particular regard. And also there was an issue that was raised around the timing thereof, because at the point when the committee basically sent us back in terms of re-looking at the tariffs at that point in time, and municipalities had already passed their budget. And from a regulation point of view, it's not possible to basically review the tariffs basically in here. So timing and the alignment therefore becomes very important. And I think this intervention and the point at which we're actually discussing the process around tariff setting this time around will definitely address the timing issues when decisions are made on the one end, and then basically when municipalities basically pass their budgets. So in terms of the consultation process, so currently the process is at a level where there's consultation basically with municipalities. Those meetings have basically happened. And once that is basically completed, then there will be a formal consultation basically with SALGA, and then the written comments back to water boards is basically due in Jan, and then the lodging of pricing amendments with Parliament is around February, and then approvals are basically around March. In terms of the challenges, we also asked to basically look at the challenges as SALGA, which were basically raised and which we don't necessarily have to basically repeat them at this point in time. But I think the main thing was to look at the structural issues in terms of the city and the price determination from tariff setting point of view, and almost having the same kind of structure that we have in the electricity sector to actually regularize that particular process. And definitely that work is underway. So previously how we deal with the challenges that have basically been identified is that there was a recommendation around having an independent regulator in terms of the setting of tariffs and basically the standard and norms in terms of how the multi-year bulk tariffs are basically set, which will then actually go a long way in terms of addressing the issues that were previously raised in the portfolio committee, as well as the guidelines on the drought tariffs. And basically on our side as well, based on this particular development, then we would have to re-look at our processes to make sure that they basically in line and the assessment of tariffs, therefore, in terms of the modeling tools as well, once some of these issues are basically addressed from a process point of view. And basically, we just recommend in the PC to know the interventions that have been presented around the municipal debt, which is basically work in progress, and the oversight role and our involvement in the process in terms of the bulk water tariff, basically. So that's the conclusion, but just to highlight that there is better cooperation and working together between the teams. I think since the last meeting where we were sent taking to basically look at that. So there's definitely alignment in terms of the challenges and how they should actually be addressed. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Komutso. Let me take this opportunity to acknowledge the Minister of COCTA, Menko Sazana. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Can I then get and welcome the Chair of COCTA, Memkambi. Can we get the hands for those that want to interact with the presentation from both department and SALGA? Taking it from the last meeting that we have in terms of the progress that we expected as members of parliament. So, Hello, who's calling me?
Nkosi Luthuli is calling you.
Oh, you can't, Nkosi Luthuli can't raise the hands through the system.
Let me try, but you can't record me on it.
I can do that, but I'm I'll note you. Let me start with those that are in the
okay.
In the system.
No problem. I'm trying to raise my hand on that system.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Nkosi Luthuli. We have Honorable Mashego, followed by Honorable Sifai, followed by Honorable Member. You have not. Name your gadget, the 78869.
Chairperson?
Yes.
The gadget that I'm using does not have the raise your hand icon.
Okay, you will note you, Honorable Mokgotjo.
Thank you, Chair.
Yes.
That 768869 is Minister Sisulu. It's me.
Oh, okay, welcome, Minister.
Thank you.
Okay, so it's Minister Sisulu raising a hand.
Yes, please, I am raising
okay.
my hand.
Okay, let me start it. Honorable Mashego, Honorable Sifloi, Honorable Minister Sisulu, Honorable Che Mutambi, and Honorable Rebecca Mosala. Those are the hands, and you add Honorable Nkosi Lithuli and Honorable Shelly Mokgotjo, as I've identified you. Can we start? And let's mind time. Honorable members, I'm not want to deny opportunity to speak, but let's mind the time because we still have the presentation that is coming. Let's start, Honorable Mashego.
Thank you. Just as the one of the things that I was worried about when we started the presentation was going well. We will get a paint presentation, and Deputy Minister Mashego did say that we must listen. There shall come a time where they differ, it might come. And maybe let me just say, I've been opening the mic here. I'm sure on the Mbangubani Chairperson, you must remember that one of his best friends, I think Mbabunda was having Devon, has died. I think he might be having difficulty to come. And that's what I think. But having said that, that's fine. Now, also over Mashego, the joint meetings, as we said in the last meeting, did continue to sit. There are places where they differed, there are places where they are in an agreement. We're not getting that point. But SAUDA is preventing a way forward from the fact that there is the issue of the non-increment of tariffs by the water board is resolved, therefore move forward into the new 2021 concept. And the Department of Water is still expecting that. I will be interested to hear the SAUDA view of what is it that they say. If the Department of Water and Sanitation is willing to give relief funds to water boards, but it is not willing to give refunds to municipalities, what informs that view? Because the fact of the matter is that at the end of the process, whether you give water boards for them to can charge people, or whether we give municipalities in order for them to pay in order of the people, our end users will suffer the consequence, the double jeopardy of the increments of the water boards and the increment of the municipalities. For instance, you have realized that even some governments even tell us the reasons why, for instance, Ekurhuleni has increased 13%, when in actual fact we said there must be no increase. And if you look at, as we said, that if there is increase, we can live with the red water one, which is 6%. And that 6%, if you look into the total increment, only is found in one municipality, and which is I'm sure it is the I don't know that name, but there is one area where 6% is implemented. But all others are far above that which SAUDA came and said they can't afford. He said they can't afford, and they can only afford 6%. And then he said that there'd be no increment. But they themselves have increased way above the 6% you're talking about. And now the report that the Department of Water and Sanitation is saying is on the strength of the non-increment by water boards to municipalities and the end users, we are going to 584 million rand to give to water boards to remain on float. The question I want to ask, especially on, because look, I can see it and say it doesn't matter, Salga has agreed. We are not voting for one of the a processing process structure. We are still going to have people who do not afford to pay the increment against the backdrop of us having said there shall be no increment. I don't get the sense why do we get this better score of having increased, and then we wanted to want the water port alone and not having municipalities. And Salga is not speaking, but Salga is moving from the premise that matter is resolved. We are now looking at it in one situation. And I have a problem with that approach. Chairperson, maybe I'm lost, I don't know, but where I'm sitting, I don't get the sense that we are talking to the problem that we are facing as voters. The issue of whether we are going to have the credit console being implemented and so on, we all know sitting here that next year is going to be election time. All of you will change and say, lower down your credit control because it is time for elections. So why are we fooling ourselves and believe that that's the solution? Because it's not a solution. And it does not help us to want to impound the debt with the hope that we will get that.
Can you summarize, Mashiach? Can you summarize? Thank you. Thank you very much. Finished. Number two.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good evening to honorable members, ministers, DMs, and leaders of administration, acting DGs and deputy DGs, and SALGA leadership. Good afternoon, Chairperson.
Good afternoon.
I listened to the presentation, to both presentations. And here, we are in a danger that we find ourselves last time. Of individual entities representing themselves. And at a leadership level, we made proposals. When we said, please go back again, try to integrate these areas so that we see how do we deal with the communities in unison. We deal with the poverty-stricken communities in unison as we continue to consider the economic decline of the country. I think my dilemma, Chair, is that I do not know what must I do because we presented all proposals that need to be considered. And the presentation they are coming individualistic as they were before. Now we are to start afresh again to do the discussions. Perhaps, Chair, maybe you would help us. How should we discuss this again? Because all the issues that you've raised are not yet dealt with in terms of a configuration and coordination by these three entities. So now, where are we in the process? Did locate Shalo? But then, if then we were to reopen the debate, I'm ready to discuss. But my problem is, I'm waiting for a coordinated presentation from the department and SALGA. Thank you, Chair. What happened to our proposal? What happened?
They will respond on reply, Honorable Minister Sisulu.
Minister Sisulu?
Yes, thank you. I was trying to find my unmute. Am I audible, Chair?
Yes, you are, Ms.
Yes. Chair, I was going to say to the last speaker that it was inevitable that we would come to this, because the two departments that we're talking about have already had other meetings in between, and we will continue consulting until we find each other. I don't think that we anticipated that by today we would have found each other. We had a very, very good discussion at the level of MINMEC. About who were at the MINMEC. I think that the presentation of SAGA is for more forward-looking than we were at the last one. I think that we will need maybe one or two more meetings before we get to a point where we are all at one, because each of these departments is looking after a different constituency. Not that our people are not our constituency, but we're looking at a different set of problems that we're dealing with, and we would like to have them solved. I want to thank SAGA for the presentation. It gives us hope. It has moved significantly from the one that we had in the MINMEC, and it has now begun to put forward some solutions. I'm just worried about the time frames that SAGA is put forward for these proposals, because our need is yesterday. Our need is very great, and we would need to revisit the timeframes that SAGA is putting forward, even though we agree with them that at least some steps have been taken. However, there is in that presentation a very important slide that was put there, and it puts parliamentary approval in inverted commas. And for me, that is a very important concept. And I'd like us to get back to that, to understand what does it mean and why in SAGA is it in inverted commas? Because it would unlock quite a number of things and quite a number of misunderstandings that have arisen between ourselves and Treasury. Treasury is very clear about the responsibility of the departments vis-a-vis any other department or perhaps even Parliament. So we need to be very clear exactly where do we in this particular forum stand in relation to determining what happens, what is our power in that respect. And if we're agreed on that, it will be possible to bring Treasury on board to make sure that we are solving the same problem together. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you, Minister. Honorable Mutambi.
Thank you, Chairperson. We I just want to join the queue as raised by Honorable Nancy Sikwai. We had a strong sentiment that emerged during our previous joint engagement on the issue at hand. And then we took a resolution that, as Honorable Sisoy and the Honorable Mashikoy said, that we want the two departments together with SAGA to come back with a consolidated presentation. Yes, I hear what the minister is saying, no? That this is some of the matters that they are considering it. But then we are of the view that also, by the same token, we want them to put this across to say the water boards are also in need of support in terms of government's COVID-19 stimulus package to enable them to implement this zero tariff increase. Then we are also aware of the fact that, which is also common knowledge, that the water boards are not in the habit of receiving subsidies like other state organs such as municipalities. But then when you look at the presentation by the department, it also indicates that there has been no funding injected to assist the water board to cope with the stress of no tariff increase in the 2021 financial year. For us, we feel this is very much regrettable because the benefits of a zero increase are not likely to accrue to residents if water boards do not have the financial means to see consistent supply of the service. There needs to be careful consideration of on this with the view to striking the balance between relief to households and the future sustainability of water boards. Then one, as one browses this presentation, the presentation then further reveals that according to a data age analysis of the water boards, the zero increase has had no impact on the settlement of the current accounts of municipalities, let alone their historical debt. This is also very worrying because the expectation is that the zero increase will have afforded the opportunity some room to settle some of their water board debt. While we want to welcome the zero increase in bulk water tariffs for 2021, it is important to ask whether it is serving the intended purpose and whether the benefits really outweigh the cost. In this way, as and when there are these other issues, because I'm trying to raise it based on what the minister has just said, we should welcome the department's intention as it then enlightened the joint committees on the implications of the no increase as well as the possibility of unintended consequences. But I should think as we progress, if the questions is raised by the two colleagues that spoke to me, then we should also have to deal with this issue, deal with the politics of this water tariff. That's where I want to end, Chairperson Bona.
Thank you very much, Honorable Rebecca Mosala.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. Although we know that litigation is the last resort, the case of the court case in Madiba is very interesting. On the 7th May 2019, the High Court of South Africa in the North Gauteng Division found in favor of the Minister of Water and Sanitation against the Madibeng local municipality. In the court order, the judge acknowledged the amount of 32 million of water use charges and a further amount of 13 million for water research levies. Has the department recouped these monies from the Madibeng local municipality after Chairperson, an independent regulator is an option, but within the South African context, has its own pros and cons. Could the expert of this virtual meeting provide some insight on the viability of a regulator in South Africa? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Nkosile Thuli, will followed by Honorable Rasson.
Thank you, Chair. On the other way, I'm well covered on the other side, but I got a little bit concerned out of this, Chair. One of these things, is it the increment based on the municipality's debt or not? That's my answer. That's my question I'm raising. If so, why NERSA was not a part and parcel of the conversation between between the government entities, SALCA and the other people who were there. Only those two questions I'm asking. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Basson, and followed by Honorable Mkhotu.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, the department finds itself now between a rock and a hard place. We've got no choice to bail out water boards that is financially struggling because of the municipalities not paying what they owe the water boards. And I want to support the minister, whereby she said we want a resolution or we need to resolve this as in yesterday. Because we're going to sit in a situation that if the department is not going to assist the water boards will collapse. And that will collapse water infrastructure as well in the country. I really don't know why we are struggling with COCTA coming to the table, taking decisive decisions on payment on water. Yes, the chairperson, one of the members mentioned Maribeng and a court case. You won't get that 32 million out of Maribeng. There's no water there. I spoke to the premier of the province yesterday. It's week three now, and there's no water here. They cannot maintain the infrastructure. Sewer is running into the Crocodile River. I had a meeting with the administrator today. He did not pitch. He sent his municipal manager. They cannot pay overtime. People are not willing to take time off. So that's one municipality. It's happening all over the country. And at the end of the day, Department of Water and Sanitation will have to assist the water boards. Because the municipality is not going to pay. What are you going to sell? You're going to sell the buildings of the municipality? It's not allowed. Where's the money? So really, Chair, I want to plead and I want to support the minister on what she said. We need to get a solution on this problems now. Not to make it viable for water boards, we'll have to increase a huge amount to get them floating. And that is not the way to resolve this problem. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Mkhotu.
Thank you, Chairperson. What form of intervention did SALGA and the Department of Water and Sanitation come in order to enable the municipalities to pay off their debts to the water boards, not forgetting that majority of the consumers of water have lost their jobs and may not afford to pay their arrears. Another question is, the primary aim of the revision of raw water pricing strategy and norms and standards for tariffs is to provide an enabling framework for the provision of financial assistance and the use of water pricing to ensure and foster predictability and stability within the water and sanitation sector. Has the department during the revision process made an explicit need to balance debt and equity finance for investments? Given more clarity on the diversion of cash into short-term investments as applied by water boards, has the department considered a line item which incorporates cash equivalents, and short-term investments? Could the department provide more clarity on the policy for including impairments as an operating expenditure? Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mkhotu. Honorable Becky.
Commissioner Chair, can I speak? Please, can I have your indulgence?
Let me finish my brief, Minister Yoroka.
Okay.
Honorable Becky.
Honorable Chair, no, I did not raise my hand, Chair.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, Minister.
Maybe it's me who raised the hand, Becky.
Oh, Becky, ne?
Oh, yes, the political head of SAR, Honorable Chair.
Oh, Ukon?
Yes, yes, the other Becky, without an
H. Okay. Come in, Rob. Minister, you'll follow the political head of SALGA.
Thank you very much. And let me greet the Minister Kogda, Minister for Water Affairs, DMs that are present, and leadership of the both portfolio committees, COPTA and Human Settlement and Water. I think our presentation, Chair, is informed by the correspondence that we've got from your office, which asked us certain questions in which they wanted us to respond to. And our response is a forward-looking response because it is important not to remain on the stagnant environment as we are seemingly we are finding ourselves in today. The root of the matter is that the all institutions of need some assistance in one way or another. So that they are able to do their business as they are mandated to perform such activities. It is a common cause, of course, that members of parliament that go to parliament because of election, if you send a message that coronavirus acknowledge as it is today, because South African government, it should be a responsible government on its citizens, and I think within that context, it will be important to find solution on matters of this nature. As we have already said in the presentation, I think in the last discussion we wish to concede that yes, it was understood that parties must go. In the interest of the joint committee was we must receive a joint presentation that it must address these issues. We said earlier on as an association, we welcome the zero-based water tariff, but it has also its own weaknesses and challenges going into the future. And I've been, as a member of the association, following the public participation of various water boards. And I noticed that there is a view that in the coming period, there will be a 15% increase. And the hardship that the municipalities are facing and the community of South Africa is so immense. And therefore, it requires an immediate action from the authorities that it must intervene in the interest of those that are receiving services from government. Otherwise, as community is going to drift away from the interest of government and politics in South Africa, and it might satisfy a certain interest of other groupings that they are sitting somewhere because they will wish to dodge the current state or current government because of their selfish particular interest. And that is why I think I agree with Honorable Mutambi, that it is important that we enter into a political debate about the water pricing and its related matters, rather than being legalistic. Legalistically, we may win a particular battle, but we are not going to win the war. Our interest must be about winning the war and then battle. And of course, we must appreciate battles as we win going forward. But the bigger the focus and energy that we must put is to win the war that we are facing going forward. I think that is my first issue. And the last issue, Chair, is that challenges that are faced by municipalities and thereby communities, because in a certain extent, the water sold to municipalities, in our own research, we find that they are selling the same water without charging any markup price. And therefore, the resources that they are getting from public is cross-subsidized. From a municipality that is not generating any income, it's a matter that we all need to look at the political level and provide answer to it, because it's a challenge that is facing our communities. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much, Ravanguwani. Minister Sisulu. We have lost the minister.
Adi?
Yes, minister, you said you wanted to speak. You are given opportunity. I think the minister's network is the problem. She will be given time when she comes in. I'm going to add one question and then hand it over to Chair Mutambi for him to get the response from the presenters. Just taking it from where Honorable Sisuai and Honorable Mutambi has left it and Masha, we expected the government to come to Parliament and say, we were called and we were requested not to increase the tariff. We have done that. But for now, you are getting a report that is only water board that has done that. Municipality has increased, and the amount that they are varying. And the issue that is raised by Honorable Masala of the independent regulator is becoming more important on this matter. Because we cannot afford a situation where water becomes have a crisis at some point. On the debt of the debt that municipalities owe water board, I think we should not get tired to engage with all the three departments, including treasury. We need treasury because our proposal, as Honorable Sifai was indicating, we're saying there was a proposal of totalizing, and we're not getting whether it's not happening or still going to happen and what is the problem now. And that's that is worrisome for me. If we have delegated the department to go back and do the work, and coming back to ask the same questions to us, it's a problem. So just to check the two things, what is happening with the proposal of the topolizing to assist both municipalities? Because in the last meeting that we had with the interministerial task team was to get treasury to assist in topolizing for water board and for municipalities, because there are a lot of government departments that are all municipalities, so that we are dealing with the debt. But again, we're saying that as we leave that meeting, there should be an engagement that besides the debt, the old debt, there should be commitment for municipality to start paying what is due for the water that they get. So and we don't get those answers. I'm a bit worried about the presentation. So just to get why municipality, I know that at the time we're taking decision, municipality already have adopted the budget. But the question is, are they going to do the same as what the water board has done, or what is happening? Maybe Salka can respond to that. As I hand it over to you, Chairperson Mutambi, and request members to mute your mic so that you don't interrupt the meeting. Butelezi, your mic is disturbing us. Honorable Mutambi, you can take over.
I'm here. To take over. Yes. Thank you, Chairperson. As and when they prepare to also respond to the issues as raised, because this is coming. Remember, we took a joint resolution as a committee to reject the proposed tariff structure, and then the minister then instructed the zero increase of bulk water tariffs for the 2021 financial year in order to provide relief for households whose ability to pay for services has diminished based on the COVID-19 pandemic. Then the question out of that, which was noble and good what the minister has done, we need to commend her for that. But then the issue also is, and when the colleagues are ready to respond, on my side, want to understand what has been the impact of the zero bulk water tariff increase on the annual salary increments of the water board employees for this current financial year 2020-2021. Yes, that's the issue that we want. Also, the other issue, one of the motivation for implementing the zero bulk water tariff increase in this financial year was to prevent the municipalities from increasing their water tariffs in order to question residents whose ability to pay had diminished because of the COVID-19. I'm raising this to check also whether, because now you have seen in terms of the slide, somebody has raised it sharply. Is this zero tariff increase saving its purpose? If some municipalities have then gone aboard and then still approve the water tariffs. So these are the issues that one wants clarity on. Can I hand over to the acting DG team? Then it will be Salga, it will be the ministers commenting on these issues as raised by members. Can the DG, acting DG team, start to respond on the issues as raised?
Thanks, Honorable Mutambi. Thanks for that. I'll just run through some of the areas. Can you hear me, Chair? Can I go?
Yes, I can.
Just in terms of a question which Honorable Mosheka raised...
I think DG, if you can switch on the your video, your live on Parliament Channel 408. They want to see your picture.
How's that? Here I am.
Yes, that's better.
Thank you. Honorable Paul Mutambi, just a question raised by Honorable Mashekhu with regard to DWS willing to give relief to the water boards but not to municipalities. It would never be the department's responsibility to give relief to the municipalities. That's done by National Treasury in terms of the Division of Revenue Act. The only reason that we're giving a relief to the water boards, which is temporary relief, is to keep them in business, because if the water board had to close its doors because it wasn't able to operate, the point of default would be the department, with Minister being the Minister Sisulu being the shareholder representative for those water boards. So it would default to the department. The question raised by, I'm just going to run through those which I feel that I can respond to. The one issue raised by Honourable Rebecca Mohlala, I will check on whether we actually did recover that $32 million from Muddy Beng, but I think Obasson gave quite a vivid impression of where Muddy Beng stands at the moment. I think we'd need a much longer discussion around the independent regulator, which is also put forward by SALGA as one of the issues we need to deal with in the longer term. There were a number of balance sheet issues raised by Honorable Khoto. Chair, if I could ask one of my water boards just to respond, maybe Randwater. I see the COO from Randwater is in, and he can just respond to some of those balance sheet issues which Honorable Makoto raised. I think I've covered those questions which I can. I'm able to respond to the political questions, but those ones within my purview. So I would ask Randwater just to come in on the balance sheet, and then there's some questions which I think SALGA would be able to respond to. Thanks, Honourable Chair.
Can we ask the colleague from the Randwater Board to respond to the question as raised by Honorable Mohote?
I'm going to turn my video off now, Chair.
We are told there's a colleague from the Randwood.
Machidiso is going to come in.
Yes. Yes, thank you, Acting DG. I'm Machidiso Nyembe, the CFO of Randwater. I would like to pass our greetings to the Honorable Chair of the Joint Portfolio Committee session, the ministers, as well as the honorable members in the session. The question that has actually been raised relates to whether water boards, as part of our funding structure, do have in place investments, cash and cash equivalents, investments, portfolios that are actually then now wherein the funds are actually invested, taking into account the cash flow generating potential of the entity and matching, you know, those cash flows with the different investment instruments, and that in turn indeed is taken into account wherein we actually do make projections of the cash flows that will actually be generated at any point in time. And if there is additional cash inflows, those are invested appropriately within utilizing an instrument that we could actually quickly liquidate if there is any additional cash that is actually required within the organization. And as well, you know, as part of our funding, you know, mechanisms, we do take into account, you know, revenues that are internally generated through a tariff, as well as looking at debt, external debt financing, to ensure that at least, you know, there is actually a matching of the funding that is required to actually support a capital expenditure requirement. Ordinarily, we would actually utilize externally raised a debt to actually fund a capital expenditure for new investments that are actually then now put in place, and for current infrastructure that is currently in place, we would actually rely on tariff revenues, because you're actually sustaining the current demand, and the maintenance and the refurbishment of that particular infrastructure will need to actually be covered revenue streams that are actually generated. However, if you are actually financing and you are building a new infrastructure to meet future demands, then we will actually match that financing requirement with externally generated debt. Indeed, this current environment, we have seen a growing trend and increases in the impairment of debt as a result of the increasing default rate from our customers, and the debt book has actually increased to an extent that the doubtful debts are at cannot necessarily be absorbed by the entities, by the balance sheets of the entities, and hence then it will actually require at least to be a bit of a recovery from the tariffs that are actually then now generated. Ordinarily, in normal circumstances, you know, debt impairments, we were not necessarily recovering from tariffs, but because of the escalating debt book, it is actually unaffordable to not actually recover a portion of the debts that are actually being impaired, especially because there isn't any guarantees or that are actually provided by municipalities or government on how they are actually going to service the historically debt that has actually the historical debt that has actually been now grown. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you, EFO. Can we allow Salga to respond to the issues as raised by members?
Okay. Thank you, Chair. It's Fumuza again, Letati, from Salga. And I must apologize in front. I've got network issues. I've been kicked out several times, but I've got my colleague from Salga that would help if I'm kicked out during answering some of the questions. Maybe just to touch on the debt that's basically owed to water boards. As I've actually indicated in the presentation, that we have only recently added water boards in terms of the multidisciplinary on revenue committee, which will then also look at the structural issues in terms of the value chain. And that also includes National Treasury in terms of some of the proposals that have been put through around top slicing. So the comprehensive strategy is currently being looked into, which will also then be presented basically in the political task team. But basically what has happened up until this point in terms of even the process where Minister basically or ESCOM, that National Treasury has basically been tasked to make sure that all state departments, that all municipalities, whether it's on water or electricity, they basically pay for those services. We're basically monitoring that process very closely to make sure that then it goes towards alleviating the pressure around debt that's basically owed to municipalities, both to ESCOM and basically water board. So that's basically work in progress, and we're not in the position at this point in time to respond comprehensively to the question that has basically been raised. And but nevertheless, that it has basically been flagged, and we've been focusing on it very closely. Then in terms of the setting of tariffs, so there's definitely challenges from a process point of view. There are some municipalities that were able to absorb through the step-up approach in terms of tariff setting to absorb some of the increased costs around the various services. But of course, the same way that we had identified previously, there are basically inconsistencies in terms of applications, and we're definitely assessing that. And one of the things that we'll actually be pushing for is to ensure that basically the benefit is actually transferred to households, because that was the intention of this entire discussion. But unfortunately, the process issues basically came in the way of that particular process. And then in terms of the infrastructure aspects and the failing of infrastructure as well, it's an area that would also be focusing on very closely in terms of the upcoming budget Lokgotla, that would also look at infrastructure and asset management and maintenance, and putting through propositions in terms of how we deal with the issues around infrastructure backlog as well. And maybe just also to note that the issues around the various cases that are basically underway, whether it's related to ESCOM or it's related to water boards, and it's also of encumbrance of bank accounts of municipalities, is also that would also be an area of focus in terms of dealing with that. We've already started looking at it from a SALGA perspective in terms of how we deal with it around the sector to actually avoid municipalities that are already in financially distressed to be spending additional money in terms of fighting some of these cases basically in court. So on the issue around the revenue under recovery, which is one thing that we've actually observed in terms of the municipalities, that we've seen revenue under recovery up to even 30% in terms of the networks. For the lower tier municipalities, it's also up to about 50%. So they're definitely struggling to collect under the current operating environment. And I think part of the relief, albeit it fell short of SALGA's expectations, where we expected that the 20 billion that have been allocated to local government have been additional revenue all in all, but only to find out that only 11 billion was basically additional and it's a multi-year allocation, and the rest basically just the reallocation in terms of the other grants that have basically been allocated previously basically to local government. So the issue of funding for local government is actually a big issue, which we have also seen that there's actually an increase in terms of unfunded budgets due to the difficulty of municipalities in terms of collecting under the current operating environment, and the issues around the historical debt, where the debtors book is already sitting at over 191 billion, which will also be an area of focus holistically around the multidisciplinary team on revenue committee. Thank you, Chair. I hope I've covered the questions that were basically leveled at SALGA. If not, maybe some of my colleagues can assist in that particular regard. Thank you.
Jacob, before I see Minister Matlow send it up, anything from Jacob's side? Silence. Minister, Deputy Minister Matlow.
Well, thank you very much, Chairperson, or co-chairs, I mean, to the ministers, DMs, the DGs, CEOs, and chairs of the board. Well, Chairperson, probably some of the issues Trevor has responded to, but let's clarify that today's discussion on the matters arising, there is a limitation on scope. like the presentation Trevor has prepared, including the other one that he has to make. We were correct to share yourselves when you summed up. The last time we met, you appealed that the minister should go and reconsider the decision that has been made. And Trevor's presentation has been able to indicate that that request that you made, the minister did indeed actually made the decision that when it comes to the tariff, remember the tariff is a three-tier system. There is a water resource a tariff, which is a development charge, and there's a bulk, which is related to water boards or other water service providers. And the last one, which is the retail, that is done by municipalities. Remember, those are the tariffs we are dealing with. In terms of the presentation we have made today, Chairperson, it's going to be important that, including some of the questions colleagues you have asked, that the principle called the user pay principle is a very important principle for any service that is being rendered. And it's a principle that we should always know that because there will always be inputs for any service that has to be rendered, someone must be able to pay for that particular service. The very same thing within question of what, because we're able to demonstrate what are the inputs in terms of what. In the main, you know that the issues of infrastructure is one of the components, the issues of treatment that include your issues of electricity, which is more important, and then the issues of chemicals, including the labor cost. Then there is also the principle that the South African government, led by the ANC, has always taken, the cushioning of the poor. In the cushioning of the poor, the free basic policy on water, including electricity, remain. That's why even when the division of revenue is actually being taken into consideration, that option is always made available. Because sometimes we have a view that the poorest of the poor are going to bear the biggest burden for the increases. But in reality, the state has always made a provision. And the only problem we have is that those who are most vulnerable, they started to do what we call it overconsumption. If they actually started to consume more than what we actually made a provision. I thought I should be able to raise this principle because it's one of the discussions we raise amongst yourselves. Then the other issue we also raised with you was the question of the consultation process. And I was very happy that SALGA, in as much as the timelines look very tight, if you look at the tariff process for 2021-2022, a presentation Trevor is still going to make, Chairperson, with your permission. The last time we had an issue that you are always coming at the tail end. It's a matter of accountability when the matter has been decided. One of the issues to discuss is to say, in as much as the prerogative to finally conclude lies with Minister Sisulu around water tariffs, especially the first tier tariffs, when do you two come in? Because as representatives of the people, you too, you have an important contribution to make. And I think that timetable is going to be very important before next year, ultimately, after all consultation with other stakeholders, these matters, they come into consideration. The other principle is what Trevor raised, which is norms and standards. What do we take into account when we do these issues? Therefore, the two presentations, Chair, one, they confirm that your request was adhered to partially. There was a zero increase for bulk, but on the retail, municipalities continued looking at their various issues that are empowered in terms of the MFMA. They actually increased from others from 4%, the highest is 21.5%. But when it comes to the water boss, which is what we said now, is that there have been unintended consequences. And Trevor has indicated the unintended consequences. And some of the unintended consequences are felt mostly by the water boards that are supporting rural provinces that are actually also having rural municipalities that are mostly stressed. What has happened is that there is going to be a deferment of some of the capital projects that we should be able to note. And these are the implications even in terms of the outer year. In certain instances, there is also a postponement of some of these that we need to do. But we also started to see the issues of the default. That's why the minister is looking as a shareholder to say, how do we support the water boards in the interim? Because ultimately, as on behalf of the shoulder, that problem needs to be dealt with. And in the correspondence we received, Chair, you wanted to know how are we dealing with this impact on the water boards. The two ministers, as Minister Sisulu indicated, they convened a joint MINMET last week. This matter was discussed. And ultimately, there are teams that have been put in place that Trevor and others, they are continuously engaging because we have to be in a position to know that the outstanding debts of 120 days, 90 days, 60 days, and 30 days, the municipalities has to be able to be supported that indeed they pay. Because if they don't pay, the situation that we've seen with Eskom, Honorable Person is correct, the situation is going to be very dire and the consequences very hard. I think on what we have actually requested, we have done that particular point, Chair. Safe to say, unfortunately, some of my colleagues who raise matters very sharply from SALGA politically are not here because it's an important matter to say, you came, you protested, you asked, but we have never reciprocated. But there will also be probably a reason why that could not happen. And remember, we could not be in a position at the time when we spoke that municipalities in terms of the intervention by the state of the 20 billion rand. And SALGA has correctly explained that that money in the main was the money that anyway belonged to municipalities, that to go back to municipalities. We could not be in a position, like Trevor, you have also said, that to tap in that particular money. The question, Honorable Rebecca, of independent regulator, it has been discussed as part of the broader issue the IMTT is looking at. And remember, we have said there is no disagreement in principle, but the modalities on how to incubate it and how to move, because Honorable Ndabezitha, the regulation for water is not the same for electricity, which is regulated by NERSA, and it has an act. If you want to do an independent economic regulator, at a particular point, it will require also a parliamentary process or a regulatory process to have a piece of legislation to guide that particular process. The issue of top slicing, Honorable Mashiko and Chem, we could not today discuss those other issues because we're directed on only two matters. But it's one of the matters that we do agree that it is outstanding. I think I've responded on the question of Honorable Mkhut, the principle of vulnerable people to say they're unable to pay. We have a responsibility to engage that all of us, we must be able to pay those who can pay. But second, we must also be in a position to use either water or electricity wisely. Those people who are vulnerable, as I was saying, the ANC police, which is the police of government, the Free Basic Services Police, has not actually been addressed by government. And the financial provision, including the Indian police, they are able to look at some of those particular issues. I thought, Comrade Chair, we should be able to say to members, we are not trying to create a confusion. There's been a lot of engagement, and we could even start to see that in streamlining processes going forward, we are starting to actually come to a path where we are starting to find each other. But the fundamental issue of the debts owed to municipality and the debts owed to water boards is one of the biggest challenges of our time. And we need all our wisdom to say, what do we do collectively to ensure that municipalities that are in distress, they don't pass the stress to the water boards? Because if these water boards, they fail, the biggest challenge of electricity you see, it will be like a picnic, a comrade chair. With those words, Chairperson, I want to thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Minister Matlovo. Deputy Minister Tau.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and your co-chair, Ministers, Honorable Members and colleagues. Just a few comments on my side, and possibly starting by picking up on the point raised towards the end by Dear Matlovo, which is the importance of the water source and our collective responsibility to manage it in a manner that is both judicious and sustainable. I think it's an important issue that we need to keep at the back of our minds, because the risk, I think, of not managing the resource well is such that it presents significant challenges to the country, both in terms of its growth, but also in terms of access to a basic resource such as water. Now, why am I saying this, Honorable Chair? I think that in the entire water value chain, we need to collectively engage, and I think the committees have said all departments that are relevant should be part of this conversation. We need to adequately engage with the question, how do we protect the resources and ensure its long-term sustainability? And how do we ensure the sustainability of the institutions that have been assigned the responsibility of managing the resource ranging from TCTA to the water boards to the municipalities? And it seems that there are a number of gaps that have emerged to the extent that these are impacting on the long-term sustainability of the resource and thus the risk of the water boards being unable to sustain their medium to long-term provision of the water resource. And in this discussion, there are issues that are emerging that require our collective attention, I believe. The first relates to a basic matter that when the committees advised that there needs to be a reconsideration of tariff increases for water boards, the message did not adequately cascade to municipalities. So you've had an increase that has impacted on the consumers, but the municipalities are not feeling the impact, because when municipalities calculate their tariffs, they take into account bulk water charges. And that point needs to reflect, because it needs to be part of the consideration of the tariff framework going into the new financial year, the extent to which municipalities had factored in bulk charges that have not been extended to them. And it's something that we have to resolve, of course, on a case-by-case basis, but as a general rule, something that needs attention, lest the consumer becomes disadvantaged because of this situation and they get a double win. A related issue, Chair, is the financial position of the water boards and the risk that presents to not just the water boards, but to the entire industry, and indeed to the entire country, to the extended governance. And I don't know the detail, but it's from the presentations. There are governance that govern the loans and bonds that they've raised and the risk when they get into a financial difficulty of them defaulting on their loans is a risk that extends not just to that individual board, but extends to the industry and the country. So we do need to protect the financial viability of these institutions, and it requires an overarching response, akin to the response that we have had with regards to ESCOM, that says, how do we ensure that we do not get ourselves into a crisis, but one that acknowledges that there is a responsibility on all parties, including municipalities, to ensure that they meet their obligations. And I do think that it is important that we do say collectively here, together with our colleagues in SALGA, that not all instances of default by municipalities are for reasons that are explicable. So there are municipalities that necessarily shouldn't be defaulting, but they see defaulting on bulk charges as the first area in which they can reprioritize. And we need to ensure that those municipalities meet their own obligations so that we do not sustain this situation that can lead us into a significant crisis. So I do believe, Honorable Chair, that a case-by-case response is important on all these matters, in as much as it is important that we give an overarching policy response to what needs to be done to resolve the situation once and for all. And as indicated, the process that was agreed to at MINMEC this past Friday, and we should be able to give feedback on the basis of progress that's been made, where we've agreed that technically there would be a process that would report back to the political principals on what needs to be done. And this was a joint MINMEC. So that process should enable us to get feedback. The second is a point that Ms. Lisati raised from SALGA, which is that in the political task team that's headed by the Deputy President that was assigned the task to address the ESCOM situation, a multidisciplinary revenue committee has been established, and the agreement is that now this revenue committee should also focus on the debt, not just to ESCOM by municipalities. Of course, it's dealing with more than that, but it should also include the water boards in terms of developing a comprehensive response. I can confirm that the multidisciplinary revenue committee has started to report in terms of a process to develop a comprehensive response. And at the appropriate time, and I wish that this could be soon, we should be able to come back and give a detailed report. But the work currently is still at a preliminary stage, so it would be premature, Honorable Chair, to even present it here. But at the right time, we should be able to come and say, this is a comprehensive response to how we deal with the overall revenue situation that impacts both municipalities and the bulk service providers. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you so much, Deputy Minister Tau. Minister Dlamini Zuma, is there anything that you want to say before I hand over to Minister Sisulu?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair. I think I'm covered mainly by Deputy Minister Tau and Mahlobo. But I also just want to say, in terms of departments not paying the municipalities, and that discussion is taking place, but I think it would help to involve Treasury, because at the end of the day, it's Treasury that can effect that the top slicing from departments that owe, or even from provinces that owe. So I think at some stage we might need to involve Treasury. But otherwise, we are, as Deputy Minister Tau and Minister Sisulu said, we are attending to these matters. They are not a bit complex, but we have put our teams together, both water and sanitation, SALGA, and ourselves, technical teams that must talk to us very soon about what to do with some of these issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister. Jamini Zuma. Minister Sisulu, over to you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, I have been covered. We have been at this for a long time, and we're still going to be at this for a long time. I don't right now have answers for most of the questions that you have, and we will be attending to them. But here's something that I want to put across to members of Parliament. You have in you the power to make suggestions. You've made suggestions to us when we brought the tariffs to you the first time, that our intention to raise tariffs. You said, no, we're not going to do this. Can you not see that our people are poverty stricken? They are struck with this pandemic called COVID. We're not going to allow that. We accepted it. It made sense. At that point, you yourselves would have tried to work out, so how do